Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear one of the most popular solo tracks by a legendary British vocalist who has recorded 41 studio albums and released a remarkable 71 singles. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will present a 1963 top 10 single by a female soul singer that, by 1970, released an album on the Beatles' Apple label backed by George Harrison, Ringo Starr, Peter Frampton, and Eric Clapton. In 1973, she served as a background vocalist on Pink Floyd's immortal Dark Side of the Moon album. Later, we will examine a cover of a cover of an early rockabilly standard, a song by Eddie Fontaine that the Beatles, with George singing lead, performed live on the BBC before their success in the United States. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will appreciate the first number one single by the ex-Beatle that took the longest to reach number one. But first, just as we do each week, we begin with a single that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then couldn't stand up to the real nitty-gritty. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we find ourselves rocking in the streets to a single and album track by a group that usually featured guitar solos by Joe Perry. But on this one, Joe took a back seat while bandmate Brad Whitford took care of the famous lead. This particular selection appeared on a critically acclaimed album that was later cited by groups such as Nirvana, Metallica, and Guns N' Roses as a direct inspiration to each of them. While this track is a scorching rocker, its producer got his start as a folk songwriter that once worked on Robert F. Kennedy's senatorial campaign as a jingle writer.
Spending a week
peak at number 40 on its way to a number 21 peak in Billboard, that was Aerosmith from their Platinum Columbia album Rocks, and Last Child, written by Brad Whitford and Steven Tyler, and produced by the former jingle writer Jack Douglas.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Several times here on Alt Universe Top 40, I have played records that fooled me when I first heard them. For example, the very first time I heard I Can Help by Billy Swan, I thought it was Ringo Starr. I thought Theme from SWAT by Rhythm Heritage was Isaac Hayes. And End of the Line by BTO sounded like the Hudson Brothers to me. Well, at number 20 is another single that fooled me when I first heard it. Based upon The Locomotion, Some Kind of Wonderful, and Can You Do It, other singles in my record collection by Grand Funk, I simply assumed that this one was another great cover by Mark, Don, Mel, and Craig.
Just one look.
Just One Look, a single produced by Jimmy Iovine and engineered by Shelly Yacus, that was not Grand Funk Railroad as I originally assumed. But to be fair, I didn't miss it by much. It was not Grand Funk, but it was the Funksters' lead guitarist and vocalist Mark Farner from his solo album on Atlantic, No Frills. Regardless of whether Mark was backed by his old band or his new one, this cover should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have one of the few Paul McCartney hit singles not released in the United States on either Apple or Capitol. Based upon a unique contract signed by Sir Paul in the late 70s, his releases were owned by his own holding company, MPL Communications. MPL was then distributed by Columbia instead of Capitol. Interestingly, within that complex record deal, Paul was given the freedom to rejoin the Beatles at any time and reactivate Apple Records. Speaking of the Beatles, this particular selection definitely had a Beatle feel to it. In addition to Paul's multiple instrumental contributions, Ringo plays drums, and the sessions were produced by legendary Beatle producer George Martin.
Take it away, wanna hear you play till the lights go down. Take it away, don't you wanna stay till there's no one else around? Take it away,
lonely driver out on the road with 100 miles to go. So survive.
Spending a week at number 11 on its way to a peak of number 10 in Billboard, that was Paul McCartney, getting a little help from his friends Ringo Starr and George Martin on the single he recorded at Air Studios in Montserrat, Take It Away.
Hi, everybody. This is Don Smith with The Collection, and you're listening to my favorite radio show on shortwave, Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 10.
A couple of weeks ago, we featured a single by ELO that was originally released on clear green vinyl by United Artists Records. This week, at number 10, we have a single released on clear gold vinyl by the JEK label. The song was written by Jamie Holmes, one of the members of the group that recorded it, The Collection. This particular single was given airplay on WHBQ in Memphis by legendary disc jockey George Klein, and led to further recording sessions in Memphis with the great Roland James. The first time I ever heard it, I had no idea that several years down the road, I would be making music and producing sessions with The Collection's mega-talented Don Smith.
I guess our good times are over now. I didn't know it would end this way. I think of things that we used to do. It only seems like yesterday since I
guess it was all in vain, but what can I do?
I guess the good times are over, a single that should have, at the very least, reached number 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, Record World, and in England. That was The Collection, a group that would soon morph into Interstate 55, a garage-style jam band that we will be discussing quite a bit in the future.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have a single that received a modest amount of airplay when it was originally released, but whose recurrent play has given the impression that it was a top 10 single. While the album that contained the tune did reach number nine in the Netherlands, the original peak position of the album in the United States was number 29, and the single didn't even make the top 40.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night's magic seem to whisper and hush. You know the song seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. Yet I know now the time is just right, and straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time I touch you, you just tremble inside. Then I know how can't hide. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low in all the night's magic. Seems to whisper and hush in all the soft moonlight. Seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, oh my love? Or can I just make some more romance with you, oh my love? One more moon dance with you in the moonlight on a magic night. La, 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 la. Can I just have one moment dance with you, my love?
From the Moon Dance album that peaked at number 9 in the Netherlands, that was Van Morrison, the legendary British vocalist who has recorded 41 studio albums and has released 71 singles. Like the Just One Look cover by Mark Farner that we heard a few minutes ago, Moon Dance was engineered by Shelley Yacus.
Pop Universe Top 40.
Auden and Grace should have reached number 8.
Now we're up to a selection that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. And since we just heard a classic track by Van Morrison, why not hear another classic of his? This is the ska act Real Big Fish doing their cover of Van Morrison's signature song, Brown Eyed Girl.
Hey, where did we go? The days when the rains came down in the hollow, we were playing a new game. Laughing and a running, hey, hey, a skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with a our hearts are thumping. And you, my brown-eyed girl, you, my brown-eyed girl. Now whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow, going down the old mine with a transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall, slipping and a sliding all along the waterfall with you, my brown-eyed girl.
From 2009 with a single that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was Real Big Fish and their ska treatment of Brown Eyed Girl. Incidentally, the highest chart position ever achieved by Real Big Fish was number 57.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is a song performed by the extremely talented Doris Elaine Higginson, a vocalist that you have heard both on her own records and on legendary recordings of others. Doris Elaine Higginson was born January 6, 1937, in New York. Originally from Barbados, her father was a Pentecostal minister who drafted Doris as a singer into the choir at his church. He did not approve of the kind of music that Doris liked most, though. When she was 16 and working as an usherette at the Apollo Theater, she was discovered by James Brown. As a result, she started providing background vocals at the Atlantic Studios, working with Dion and Dee Dee Warwick. When the vocal group known as the Sweet Inspirations formed, Doris was one of its original members alongside Sissy Houston. Once she began doing backing vocals for the Drifters, Solomon Burke, and Dion Warwick, she began using the name Doris Troy, inspired by Helen of Troy. While she was steadily working as a session singer, she also began working on songwriting. She showed the song Just One Look to producer Buddy Lucas, who, along with credited producer Artie Ripp, decided to cut a demo of it. When the execs at Atlantic heard it, they decided to press the demo and release it. It shot straight up to number 3 on the Billboard R&B chart, number 10 on the Hot 100, and number 9 in Cashbox. Even though she had immediate success as a solo artist, her follow-up releases performed sluggishly on the charts. But her career as a background vocalist never wavered. In the late 60s, she sang on sessions for Humble Pie, Dusty Springfield, and appeared on You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones. Doris then moved to London in 1969 and was immediately signed by the Beatles to the Apple label. With George Harrison as her co-producer, she began the sessions for her solo album with an amazing group of A-list musicians backing her. Musicians such as George, Eric Clapton, Ringo Starr, Stephen Stills, Billy Preston, Peter Frampton, Leon Russell, and Delaney and Bonnie's group. Unbelievably, even with all that star power, the album, simply called Doris Troy, did so poorly that it did not even reach the lower rungs of the charts. After her solo album Stiffed, Doris returned to background vocal sessions. She appeared on You're So Vain by Carly Simon, did sessions with Nick Drake, and was a major part of the legendary Pink Floyd album Dark Side of the Moon. In the meantime, her old producer, Artie Ripp, was busy first as one of the founders of Buddha Records and later as the producer who discovered Billy Joel. Doris, for the remainder of her career, concentrated on performing live. The musical Mama I Want to Sing, which Doris co-wrote with her sister Vi Higginson, ran for 1,500 performances and at different times featured Chaka Khan, Denise Williams, and Patti LaBelle. The movie version starred Ciara, Patti LaBelle, and Hill Harper. Before her death, several rock writers began to notice the Doris Troy solo album on Apple, revisiting the curiously unsuccessful record. Billboard magazine declared her album an unjustly neglected gem, and further called it a 14-carat soul nugget. She was also praised by writers Bruce Spicer and Joe Viglione, while Record Collector magazine credited her album as the epitome of Apple Records' fusion of musical cultures. Doris passed away in 2004, having fully left her mark in American and British music. Our little slice of heaven today belongs to her.
Just one look, and I felt so hard. Oh, oh, I need love with you. Oh, oh, I found out how good it feels to have your love. Oh,
with Our Little Slice of Heaven at number 7. That was Doris Troy and her signature song, which she co-wrote with Gregory Carroll, Just One Look. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Sergi from the Ukraine heard our 9.670 megahertz broadcast on his Sangean 909 receiver with telescopic antenna. He reported 45444 and sent us 4 separate air check snippets covering almost the whole show. Well, Sergi, we are thrilled that you caught the show and are incredibly appreciative of the air checks. Gary from Finland also heard our 9.670 megahertz broadcast, listening to his friend Peksu's Kiwi SDR located in Kotka. He reported 44444 and also forwarded an air check to us as a wave file. Well, Gary, thank you for the detailed report and the wave file. We hope you hear lots of transmissions you enjoy on shortwave in the future. Ismo, also from Finland, caught the same broadcast, but indicated that his reception suffered from conditions that were not ideal. Well, Ismo, we hope that those conditions improve. If not, you can always catch us on Mixcloud. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in the form of an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's act, the pride of Asbury Park, New Jersey, has certainly done that. And he has done it with albums exactly like Darkness on the Edge of Town, the album that contained today's bonus hit, produced by John Landau and engineered by the same guy that produced Mark Farner's cover of Doris Troy's Just One Look, Jimmy Iovine.
I've been working real hard trying to get my hands clean. We'll drive that dusty road from Mondo to Angeline to buy you a gold and a pretty dress of blue. Baby, just one.
with a bonus hit that should have reached number 6. That was Bruce Springsteen and Prove It All Night, a single engineered by Jimmy Iovine on Columbia Records that only reached number 33 on the Billboard Hot 100 when it was originally released. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have an interesting rockabilly record, a cover of a song written and originally released back in 1958 by Eddie Fontaine. Eddie's version peaked at number 64. Even with that relatively low peak, it was nevertheless heard and subsequently learned and covered by the Beatles before they were famous. When they played it live on the BBC back in 1963, George Harrison sang the lead vocal. Many years later, Memphis rockabilly artist Stephen Wayne Horton signed a recording deal with the record company that originally broke the Beatles to American audiences, Capitol Records. While Stephen didn't make as big a splash on the Capitol label as the Beatles did, he and his producer, the ever-present Jack Holder, certainly shook some rockabilly magic off the tree with this one.
Shaking but the leaves on the trees. We meet the gang and go to Rock and Joe's. The cats are stomping on their heels and toes. I see my baby try to give her a squeeze. Ain't nothing for shaking but the leaves on the trees. My daddy told me there'd be times like these. Ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees. She's got a way that makes me act like a fool. She spends my money and she plays me cool. I'm begging for her kisses on my bended knee. Give me some loving, baby, please, please, please. Well, I keep trying hard to make her mine. Someday the wind will blow, the sun will shine. Until that day she puts my heart at ease. Yeah, I'm shaking. Nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees. Woo! Ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees. She's got a way that makes me act like a fool. She spends my money and she plays me cruel. I'm begging for kisses on my bended knees. Oh, give me some loving, baby, please, please, please. So I keep trying hard to make her mine. Someday the wind will blow, the sun will shine. Until that day she puts my heart at ease. In a shaking but the leaves on the tree. Nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees. Ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees.
With a single that should have, at the very least, reached number 5 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Radio and Records, that was Stephen Wayne Horton and his rockabilly release, Nothing Shakin'.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we're up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a selection that charted significantly better in England than in the United States. Today, however, we have just the opposite. This single, on the Epic label, was produced by Rick Derringer and, like Moondance, was engineered by Shelly Yacus. It fared far better in the U.S., where it reached number 10, than it did in Great Britain, where it did not even make the chart.
The mountain is high.
Thank you.
top 10 single that should have reached number 4 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World in the U.S. and should have at least made the top 40 in England. That was the Edgar Winter Group and Free Ride.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we are once again talking about downtown Cleveland, Ohio, home of that four-man rock act from the early 70s that straddled pop and rock as well as any group ever has, the Raspberries. This one, released on the Capitol label, reached number 16 in Billboard, number 10 in Cashbox, and number 7 in Record World, but it should have made it up to number 3 on all three charts.
If we were on time, we wouldn't have to be worried tonight.
Our 3 from way downtown, those were the Raspberries and I Wanna Be With You, a song written by Eric Carmen, and like Free Ride, Moondance, and Mark Farner's Just One Look, it was engineered by Shelley Yakis.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we're up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a selection that should have hit number 1. Today's single, co-written by the act that sang it and the artist that we heard a few moments ago at number 6, actually did make it up to number 5 in England and peaked at number 10 on the Cashbox survey.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
Tonight
telephone. Love is an angel disguised as lust. Here in our bed until the morning comes.
At number two, with a single that sounds like a number one song to us, that was the Patti Smith Group doing the song that she and Bruce Springsteen co-wrote, Because the Night. And who was it that engineered that single, getting that perfectly clear drum sound? Yes, once again, that was Shelly Yacus on the board. We're up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is a catchy, melodic, and joyful single that got hot so fast that it set into motion a complete and absolute chart turnaround for the artist that recorded it. Back in the late 60s, as rumors about the future of the Beatles were rampant, their record sales did not suffer one bit. Their singles and albums hit number one almost without effort. Of course, record fans believed that Beatle music, as a general rule, was worth buying. Most of those legendary Beatles singles were credited to the amazing songwriting team, Lennon and McCartney. Many of those early songs were written while the two of them sat together with guitars, throwing ideas around and truly collaborating. By the late 60s, though, as all Beatle fans are and were fully aware, John Lennon turned most of his attention to collaborating with Yoko Ono. The two of them made avant-garde and artistic recordings that were not anything like the songcraft that he and Paul McCartney did so well. Of course, the record-buying public responded to those experiments. While Abbey Road and Let It Be shot straight to number one, John and Yoko's Unfinished Music number one peaked at number 124. Their Unfinished Music number two did even worse at 174, and their wedding album, it peaked a few notches lower than that at 178. When John released a live album of actual songs with the Plastic Ono Band, it did remarkably better, reaching number 10. Then, the Plastic Ono Band album and the Imagine album were rewarded with even bigger sales, reaching number 6 and number 1, respectively. Then, John and Yoko together became hugely political and, to some, seemingly angry. Their Sometime in New York City album was not accepted by the fans who liked to hear John's voice singing radio songs. Coming off a number one album, the fact that Sometime in New York City peaked at number 48 and failed to generate even one top 40 single was seen as a dismal failure. The following year, when John released his album Mind Games, it was as if he had to convince fans that he was serious about being something other than a political spokesperson. And while Mind Games is a good solid record overall, it still only peaked at number 9. Then came Walls and Bridges, which contained our Hall of Perfection track. The perfection of this track was certainly not its performance, which is bouncy and sloppy. It isn't the poetic value of the lyrics, which could have been written by any of the early disco and R&B writing teams. What it is, though, is that perfect song to remind rock and pop fans about John Lennon. By the time this single was released, he was the only ex-Beatle who had not reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. The song, Whatever Gets You Through the Night, was inspired by George McRae's Rock Your Baby, and it was perfect for its time. And once Elton John stepped in to offer high harmony and a little R&B keyboards, it really began to cook. Elton, in fact, believed that the two of them had just recorded a number one song. Lennon, being a chart junkie himself, and having seen some of his recent recordings perform sluggishly, responded, quote, "It would be nice, but I am out of favor here," close quote. Elton John bet John Lennon that if the song hit number one, John had to perform with Elton on stage at Madison Square Garden. While we will get into the rest of the story on another episode, let's just appreciate the song that caused John Lennon, for the first time since the breakup of the Beatles, to hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Perfect song for its time. That was John Lennon getting a little help from his friend Elton John, and Whatever Gets You Through the Night, a recording that was, like several others we have heard on today's show, engineered by Shelley Yacus and Jimmy Iovine. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.